Hallelujah. Are you excited about that? Hallelujah. God is so good. He is so awesome and amazing, and he's worthy to be praised. And there is nothing greater than serving the Lord, knowing that you belong to him, knowing that he is watching over us and that he is making a way for us. He is preparing us not just to survive, but to thrive. God's calling us to thrive, and he has given us life so that we would be able to do that. And that's what's exciting about serving the Lord. That's what's exciting about life itself, because life is a life of darkness, isn't it? You know, so often we look at the world and we see all the evil that is being promoted. I don't know if you noticed this, but evil is promoted. It's advertised. In every evil thing that takes place, it's broadcast. And all of the good kind of just is pushed to the side, or it's down low. And that is the mentality of the world. That is due to the fall of man. And because man is in a fallen condition and is ultimately under demonic inspiration and oppression, they cannot see the light. And as a fundamental understanding of why the world is the way it is, it always comes back to the fall of man. It always comes back to the authority that was lost in the garden. Satan has taken the authority that God gave to Adam. And he didn't take it. Adam gave it to him. And it's a very interesting principle, because he didn't just say, here, I take my authority. What he did was he believed the words of Satan over the words of God. And that's what transferred authority. And that principle has never gone away. Whoever you believe, you are giving them the authority over your life. And so it is so important that we understand that the Word of God is critical if you want to have a different life experience than your neighbors and your coworkers and the people in the world. Because if you don't understand this, you will suffer in the same manner that they suffer. And you will find yourself overtaken by oppression and bondage. And you won't have life in the presence of God, because you'll be operating on a different frequency than the frequency of the Spirit of God. And just like you can't listen to the news on a music channel, you can't hear God on a secular channel. You have to align yourself in the Spirit of God. There is power and authority available to each and every one of us that will only be able to be taken advantage of when we align ourselves on the frequency of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory to God. It just came to me, and I felt I needed to say that. We are talking about new life this month. Do you want new life? Hallelujah. You know, the Word of God says that every day his mercies are fresh and new. The mercies of God are fresh and new every morning. He breathes new life into us. What was on us yesterday, we can be free of today. And so we'll be talking over the next few months about renewable energy. Hallelujah. Renewable energy. Renewable energy. Whenever we expend our energy and our life and ourselves, we're emptying out. And God can refresh us. Yeah. He renews us. We become renewed day by day. And the Spirit of God, He breathes into us. He breathes life into us. That's why we worship the Lord. Do you know why we wave these? I gave my other ones away. You know why we wave these? We wave these because it's renewing our strength. You renew your strength. You know why I jump and I praise God? So I don't need knee surgery like a lot of other people. No, that's not why. No, I do it because I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And the Word of God says when we rejoice in the Lord, He will renew our strength. He says we will mount up with the wings like an eagle. We will soar. We will run and not be weary. We will not faint. It's the old principle, if you don't use it, you lose it, right? And so God is giving us a brand new start, and we're in a brand new place, and we are looking to God to do something new in our lives. As the world becomes more and more evil, and as it grows darker and darker, it's going to be that much more important for the people of God to shine the light of Christ and not be ashamed. And I'm telling you, the world is hungry. They are desperate for deliverance, for Christ. They don't even realize what they're hungry for, but they're dying. People are suffering all around us. And you and I, we have the life. And look, you don't have to be some Rhodes Scholar, theologian. You just need to be you, who God made you to be. Just be you. And allow the Spirit of God to shine through your life. Let the love of God, the attributes of God, flow in your life. God will do something new. Have you ever relocated before? You ever had to relocate? Man, it's challenging, isn't it? But the interesting thing about relocation is that it's bittersweet because you love where you are, but, well, maybe not so much, but, or maybe you wouldn't relocate, but you certainly are used to being where you are, and it's familiar, and it's something that you're comfortable with because of your experience with it, but there's something new that God is doing. And you're relocating. And whenever you relocate, it's God. Don't underestimate that. God is doing something. And God moves us where He wants us to be. He positions us, kind of like playing chess. And He moves us to where people need what we have are. Isn't that interesting? God moves us to where the people we are moving to need what we have. Hallelujah. And so relocation is always an adventure. It's exciting because God is going to do something new. And whenever you move, it's a pain in the neck because you got to pack everything up. You got all these boxes. You got a lot of work. We moved from Coates Drive over here, right? You remember that? Remember the last service we had over there? Like, all right, everybody, this place has to be cleared today, right? And we took everything from over there and we brought it here. Hallelujah, right? How many of you were part of that? You remember that? Yeah, yeah. And we cleared that place out, man. That place was dust. There was tumbleweed. Monday, there was tumbleweed blowing through there. And look what God is doing. Look what God is doing. And I expect God to do great things among us. God is doing a new thing. There is the old life, which takes you in one direction, but new life always takes you in another direction. And God has given us new life. Every day we have an opportunity. And all we need to do is be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful to the Lord. Being faithful to the Word of God is synonymous with being faithful to God Himself. The Word of God belongs to him. And so I'm going to use as a theme today, preparation for relocation. Preparation for relocation. Well, are you ready for the Word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your Word. And we just ask, God, that you would manifest yourself among us, that you would glorify yourself among us, that your Spirit would be breathed into our very lives, our very souls would come alive, and that you, Lord, would guide our steps, Lord, as the righteous, and enable us, Lord, to operate in a way that manifests the life of the kingdom of God to all who engage us. Help us, O God, to be the people you've called us to be. Let your word come alive and spring forth life in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The word of God is designed to give us new life. It is known throughout the New Testament in particular, but even in the Old Testament, as the seed. It is a seed, and the seed, when it's planted into the ground, springs forth after utilizing the nutrients of its soil, and it grows, and it brings forth life. And as it brings forth life, it releases new seeds. And those seeds are sown into the ground, and those seeds have life in them. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God has life in it. And, you know, we can't speak word for word what the Bible says all the time because we don't normally speak Greek and Hebrew in which it was originally written. But the principles of the Word of God and the concepts and the overall aspects of the Word of God, we can speak and we can share that, and it will bring life to people. It will bring life to people. And when we abide in the Word of God, life radiates from us. Life will radiate from you. It will exude from the depths of your soul. And that's why we meditate on the Word of God day and night. That's why we spend time in the presence of God. Whatever presence you find yourself, that's the aroma you will release. It will follow you. It will track with you. Have you ever been in a smoky room? When you're in a smoky room, you will smell like smoke after a while. Isn't that right? And you won't even be the one smoking. Hopefully. But if you are the one smoking, you will smell like smoke. Your very breath will come out smelling like nicotine and smoke. Isn't that right? And you can always tell a smoker. Unless they pop a mint somehow, real quick. How about an alcoholic, someone who drinks? Comes out of their pores. You can smell it. It comes out of them. You can see it in their face. It affects their countenance is impacted. And it's not just those things. That's how everything is. When you're around people who murmur and complain all the time, you're going to find yourself exuding that kind of critical and complaining spirit that will come upon you. You will find yourself becoming like those who you've surrounded yourself with. And that's why it's so important to find people who you can have a relationship with that will bring forth life in you, that will cause the Word of God to come alive in the midst of your life. And God will position you so that those opportunities will exist in your life. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring forth life. And he spent time with the disciples. He spent time with the 12. And he was releasing himself into their lives. The very Spirit of Christ was being imparted to them. And that's why they were able to do the things that Jesus did. And so in John 13, verse 36, Peter says to Jesus, when he tells him that he's going away, he's telling him he's about to go to the cross, Jesus expects them to understand it. And ultimately they do, because he's told them so many times what was about to happen. And he says to him, "Where are you going, Peter?" Peter says, "Where are you going, Lord?" And Jesus says, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Whoo! That is a loaded statement. And there's so much in there, but we're just going to focus on this one part today. And that is, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me later. Jesus was on his way to the cross. He was preparing the way to enter into his kingdom. What he was doing was bridging the gap between humanity and earth and its fallen condition and the kingdom of heaven and of God. He was preparing the way so that we would be able to transition from death to life, from darkness to light, so that you and I would be able to enter in to the very kingdom of God and participate in all that Jesus is, and that we would receive all that Adam lost in the garden, that it would be reconciled to us. And so we're transferred from one kingdom to another, a transfer of citizenship. Hallelujah. Do you know, have you ever been to a naturalization ceremony? Well, when you come to a national, to one of these ceremonies, one of the things that they ask you to do, in fact, you have to do it. It's part of the statements that you're proclaiming. They say, "I renounce my authority of being under any other government or nation. You're renouncing the nations that you were formerly under the authority of, and you're pledging your allegiance to the United States of America." That's what they do. That's what they say. Isn't that interesting? Because God requires the same thing. God says, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to come to me, then we have to forsake the old way and we have to follow him. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He said, "Follow me. Don't follow anyone else. Follow me. Follow me." And Jesus becomes the authority in your life. That's what a transfer of citizenship looks like in the kingdom of God. When you say, "Lord, take me, I'm yours. Forgive me for my sins. Lord, come into my life. Lead me and guide me." And we phrase in our own words from our hearts the very word of God that is required of us in order to gain citizenship in the kingdom of God. And once you have citizenship in the kingdom of God, all other authorities are now subject to the word of God, to the authority of God. And we can participate and we can have experiences and we can enjoy life as it is. However, our authority is God. God is our authority. And as long as things do not conflict with the commandments of the Lord, we're all good. But once we are called to believe and take hold of a mentality that is contrary to the word of God, we draw the line. And we say, "No, no, we cannot. No, we cannot." And just like Daniel, and just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have to say, "No, we will serve our Lord and our God." And we have to be faithful to God. In Luke 19:28, we see Jesus preparing this process so that we can have this experience. He says here that after he had said some things here to the disciples. He was going on ahead, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. And I have this verse in here because Jerusalem represents the city of God. It represents the city of God. It is in the world, it's a picture of the place that we are to be reminded of when we think of it, when we visit it, when we see it, that it is related to the kingdom of heaven. And it represents the city where God dwells. And you and I are just like Jesus in that we are on our way somewhere. We're on our way to a city that was not built with hands, the Word of God says. We're on our way to the city of God. And so as Jesus is on his way, he approaches Bethany and Bethphage, and he's there at the Mount of Olivet, and he sends two of his disciples, and they go to get a donkey. He says, go into the village ahead, and you'll find a colt there tied, and it's one that has never been sat on. In fact, it was a young donkey. It was a colt, and it was so young that they didn't. The way it would work is when a donkey is of a certain age, they don't put heavy loads on them. Not to say that Jesus was heavy, but they didn't put heavy loads on them. They didn't work them until they were of a certain age and a certain size so that they would be strong enough to hold the weight. So this young colt was still young and was not quite ready to experience carrying and working with heavy loads. And so Jesus, knowing all things, knew where the colt was and knew the condition of the colt and knew that that colt had the strength to carry him. Hallelujah. And you and I, we're like the colt in many ways because it seems like we're weak or like we're not quite strong enough, but we are strong enough to carry Jesus. We are strong enough to hold on to the Lord, to keep him with us, to carry us with us, to take him with us wherever we go. And so verse 31 says, if anyone asks what you're doing, because Jesus just told him to go take it. Jeez. He says, if anyone says anything, just say, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. You know, every time I read that, I'm like, man, I don't, that just would not work today. So many times we need things for the church here. I just love to go to Home Depot and say, the Lord has need of it. And walk out, you know, and have them say, okay, it's all right, go ahead. Right? Take the church van down to the mechanic. The Lord has need of these parts here. Right? But Jesus had authority and power that the very transferring of the message from Jesus to the hearer sparked something that caused him to fall into obedience. And he said, yes, okay. I would have said, which Lord are you even talking about? But they didn't ask any questions. They just let it go. That's the authority that Jesus has and the Word of God has in our lives. When we hear the Word of God, we submit to it and we say, yes, Lord. And we allow God to do whatever it is that he needs to do in our life, even if we don't understand it, even if we think that we have a certain perspective in mind and we think that it's the better way. We hold on to the Word of God and to the truths of God. And so those who were sent, they went away and they found everything just as Jesus had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owners, of course, they said to them, why are you untying that colt? Thief! So they said, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. And so in Colossians 1:13, it says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's what Jesus did. That's what he is doing.
That's what he is doing. He's relocating us. He's transferring us. He's riding in on this donkey as it comes into town. He's on his way into the city of God. There's a transfer of citizenship about to take place. Jesus is going into his own city. He's going into his own place. And as he gets in there, he establishes himself and he takes authority. And we know how he cleansed the temple and he drove out those who were buying and selling. And he did all these things throughout the week until he was finally arrested and crucified. But when he came into that city, he came in his kingly authority. And God has given you and I authority as the children of God. We have the ability to be rescued, to move from the kingdom of darkness, the domain of darkness, into that of the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of light. We are moved from darkness to light. Don't underestimate who you are. Don't underestimate what it is God is doing in your life. He is moving us. We are all on our way somewhere. Life is a journey through the wilderness that is taking us to the promised land. And God is doing something magnificent in the midst of us. It says in verse 20, that the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Hallelujah. In power. That is authority. God has power. He has authority. He has the ability to make old things pass away and everything made new. In fact, he says it already has happened. The old is passed away. We're holding on to it. We're holding on to its memory. We're holding on to the memory of the old. And God says, remember me. Remember me. Our past is hidden in Christ. Our past is hidden in Christ. We are looking forward, and the Word of God gives us a sense of direction. It helps us to know where we're going and what we're doing. It helps us to understand who we are so that we can operate in the authority of God. And then he pours out his Spirit upon us. Oh, and that is the seal of God. The Spirit of God is the seal. It is the evidence that the blood of Jesus is being applied in your life. And when the Spirit of God ignites in your life, in your very soul, you come alive. You have life everlasting. You are transformed. You are made new. You are no longer under bondage and oppression. You are no longer in darkness, but you are moved into his marvelous light. And the power and the authority of God is imparted to you. The strength of God is imparted to you. And we're able to accomplish all the things that are important. Nothing in this life matters. Nothing in this life matters except what you do with the Word of God. When we apply the Word of God and the principles of God in our life, we're imparting life. The whole purpose of this life is to get to the next one. Hallelujah. It's like being in the wilderness. You're in the wilderness. You don't live there. You don't want to be there. You're just passing through. The Israelites, that wasn't their home. That wasn't their destination. They weren't planning to stay. They were on the move. They were moving from Egypt to the promised land. The wilderness was just a pass-through. And you and I, we're living in life that is just a pass-through. Life has already been given to us. I wish. Guys, I am telling you, like that. You don't even know that it happened. You're just there. You're just there. And you're like, how did I get here? Where am I? What is this place? And it's new. And everything goes away. You don't even remember yesterday. You don't even remember the moments before. You don't remember anything except where you are now. And when the Word of God says old things are passed away, oh, they're gone. And you cannot recall them even if you wouldn't even try because you wouldn't even know there was something to recall. Think about that. The Word of God is quick and it's powerful. And so as it says here in Zechariah 9:9, it says, oh, daughter of Zion, shout in triumph. Why? Because we have victory over death. We have victory over death. When you're in Christ, life, you just move from life to life. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is representing. He is saying, I'm going to set you free from this world, from its oppression and its bondage, from all of the turmoil, all of the sickness and death, all of the evil that is at work. I am bringing you to a new location. I'm relocating you. And he says, behold, your king is coming to you. He says, he is just and endowed with salvation. He's saving us. That's what Jesus does. He's endowed with salvation. He's humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Jesus was fulfilling the Word of God. Everything he did, he is the Word made flesh. He wasn't just doing things just to be doing them. He was fulfilling the Word. He was living out the Word, the prophecies, the prophetic Word, and all that had been spoken of who he was and what he would do. He is doing what the will of the Lord, what the Word of the Lord says, and he is bringing us to a place of life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have life even now. We just don't know. We're living in two realms simultaneously, the realm of the spirit and the realm of humanity and the world and creation and the flesh. And God says, know this, because you are not the same as them in the world. When you come to Christ, you're not the same. You have a depth. You have a different dimension that has been added in, that has been grafted into your life, that has expanded your very soul, your existence, in such a way that you are of a different place. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus was like, yeah, you know, if this was my kingdom, my servants would fight. He said, but, you know, what am I fighting for? This place is nothing. It's not even going to last. He says, I'm not going to expend my energy, my resources, my people. Why should they all come down and get involved? No, he says, I'm just here to make a way. I'm here to make a way out. It's not where is God, it's where are you? Where are you? Because God is saying, follow me, and I will show you the way. I will show you the way. And so many people are saying, where is God when all this evil is happening? All things are going just to hell in a handbasket, right? And there's wars and rumors of war. There's turmoils. There's sickness and disease and pestilence and all types of things going on. And Jesus is saying, follow me. Follow me. And we're going, where is God? Where is God? Oh, behold, he comes in the volume of the book, the Word of God. And God shows us the way, and he tells us what is going to happen before it even happens. It's up to us to know what the Word of God says so we can be ready. The only reason people aren't ready and they are unexpected and they're caught off guard and they see things like coronavirus and they go, it's because they don't know the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that even worse things are coming. Oh, it does. And I don't know about you, but I'm not afraid. Not afraid. Not afraid. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. I'm not thinking about it.
I got my palms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, like the word of God says, you know, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He said, to die is gain. Right? He said, well, I know where I'm going. The way has already been prepared. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. I just stepped into the light. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us more than we even realize. And we're going through life as if we're alone, but God is with us, and that is why we have to celebrate. That is why we give thanks. And the kingdom of God is more than just words. It's authority. It's able to dispel or drive out opposing entities. It's the spirit of darkness and the spirit of heaviness. It's the mentality of the world that brings oppression and bondage, and it's designed to pull people down. It's designed to rob you of life and strength and joy. Hallelujah. People don't have joy. God has come that we might have life and have it abundantly. You and I need to have abundant life. The devil is going to show up. There's evil all around us. Darkness is everywhere, but it has no authority over you. No authority over you. You step right over it and say, yes, I see. It may get on you, get on your back, but you just. You got to shake it off. You got to pull it off sometimes. Sorry, Jesus. Don't allow the heaviness of sin and bondage, whether it's your own sin or somebody else's, to anchor you down. Don't allow it to get you stuck in a place where you don't belong. God is moving us. God is moving us. We are the most celebrating people in the world, on the planet, because of what Christ has done. Jesus has done amazing things, and the world has no knowledge of this. They have no understanding. But I'm telling you, you and I, we do. The Word of God is, it's exactly as the Word of God says it is. It's exactly as the Word of God says. Oh, don't know. There are entities, there are powers, there are authorities that are at work. There is a whole demonic realm that is coming to destroy the people of the kingdom of God. And you and I, we need to hold on to the light of Christ. To the light of Christ. Hallelujah. To the light of Christ. And you and I may have to do things that we never did before because the times call for it. And God will pull us together, and we will have resources from each other. And what you don't have, I may have. And what I don't have, somebody over here may have, or someone over there has it, or somebody in the back has it. And we will all pull together in order to advance the kingdom of God. And we will live a life that will enable us to thrive even in the midst of darkness, even in the midst of evil. And there is a day coming, the church is going to be the beacon of life itself in this world, in this country, and in places around the world. And there are things that are coming that will take place that the only safe place will be the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. And the people of God will prevail while others come under the attacks of evil that will take place in the world. And you know what the great thing is? I love this. I heard this from this awesome woman of God.
You know what she said? If you die, you die. That's what she said. If you die, you die. I'm going to put that up. It's got to be a banner. We got to have, if you die, you die. But it's really, if you live, you live. If you die, you live. Hallelujah. Oh, man, let's go. Look at this. I'm getting there. I'm almost done. And so Psalm 149:1 says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Oh, saints of God, this is what is taking place. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they are fulfilling the word of the psalmist. They are rejoicing. The sons of Zion, they're rejoicing in their king. That is Jesus as he's coming in, and they are rejoicing. I love it because he says, let his praise in the congregation. That's you and me. We're in the congregation. We're like, praise in the congregation. That is what the congregation is for. The congregation is a place where we can praise with one voice and we can shout with one voice and the world can hear that God is alive. That God is alive. And there is a spirit that is alive in the midst of the Orange County Gospel Fellowship. There is an anointing in the house of the Lord. There is a work of the Spirit in this place. There is a move of God in this place. Healing in this place. Deliverance in this place. Liberation in this place. And God is raising us up. And he's liberating us as he takes us from the place of darkness into his marvelous light. And God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. And you can be right in the midst of it and still miss it. And I am compelling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Oh, if you don't feel like it, that means you must. If you don't feel like praising the Lord, that means you have to praise the Lord. Because something is binding you. Something is oppressing you. Something is hindering you and holding you down. And it's preventing you from being free. And God says, praise him. Praise the Lord. When you praise the Lord, oh, you'll shake free. Oh, I don't understand how it works. All I know is it does. Do you want your life changed? Do you want your wife changed? Your husband changed? Your kids changed? You start praising God. You start glorifying God. You start magnifying God. God will show up in your house. He'll show up in your car. He'll show up on your job. He shows up in the church. He will show up in ShopRite. He'll show up in Walmart. He will show up at the mall. He'll show up in the movie theater. He will show up wherever you are because the life is in the praise. The liberation is in the praise. And Satan wants you silent. He wants you to be silent. You must shame the devil. You must shame the devil. The longer you keep your mouth shut, the more you will be in bondage. And you will be in oppression. And don't think it's not obvious. Hallelujah. God wants to make you free. He wants to make you free, saints of God. He wants to make you free. You and I must learn how to rejoice. Isaiah 45 says, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. Hallelujah. That to me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. Saints of God, start now. Go start now. Don't wait until you stand before God and find out your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Start now, because this is the place where you will be determined whether you make it over the Jordan or not. You and I have to choose we're going to either praise God or we're going to praise something else. We're going to praise someone else or somewhere else. And you and I must come alive. We must allow the wisdom of God to ignite in our life, the word of God to come alive in our life. In verse 24, he says, they will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him will be put to shame. Oh, saints of God, you don't have to worry. The Lord will fight for you. He will make a way for you. He opens doors for you. You and I, we just praise God. We just ignite the spirit and the atmosphere with the sound of praise and worship. And I tell you, bondage will fall off. All the weight will fall off. All the things that oppress you and that hold you down, they will fall off. Oh, saints of God, know that there is life in these words. It says, in the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and will glory. Hallelujah. You know what glory is? Glory is the radiance. It's radiating the presence of God and the experiences of God and all that God is. It just comes forth from you. Do you want your offspring to radiate in God? Well, it has to radiate in you first. Let it radiate in you. There ought to be joy in your house. There ought to be celebration in your house. You ought to be giving thanks. There ought to be praise. There ought to be this atmosphere where the Spirit of God is. The evidence ought to be there. It says in verse 34 of Luke 19, the Lord has need of it. Saints of God, the Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of you. He needs you to bring forth the praises unto himself. Not because God needs it, but because God needs it for you to have an impact on the people in the atmosphere that you have power and authority over. God has given you power and authority to transform atmospheres. Don't allow an angry spirit to abide in your house. Don't allow a hindering spirit to come into your house. Don't allow a spirit of oppression and bondage to radiate in your house. You turn your house into a house of praise. Turn your house into a house of worship. Turn your house into a house where the palms are always waving. Hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord. Glorify him. Oh, saints of God, you want to set people free in your house, you start worshiping God. You start praising God. You don't have to preach to them. You just start living it out. You just start living it out. Hallelujah. And just let it come alive. And all of a sudden, you'll see the Spirit of God will come in and the atmosphere will shift and people will be changed. Oh, saints of God. Oh, we see it all the time. We saw it all during the renovation process. God impacts people's lives. The Spirit of God impacts people's lives. And some people run away because they don't want to be in the atmosphere of God's presence, because the spirit that they're in has a stronghold on them and they don't want to be free. People say, I'm okay. Nothing wrong with me. Oh, I don't want to do it that way. I can do it my own way. Oh, I beg to differ. Because if your way was working, you would be in a better state of mind than you're in. You would be bringing life wherever you go. Hey, your kids would be alive in God. There would be this atmosphere that is conducive to people saying, what must I do to be saved? Because being around you. But if they're not saying that, then that tells you that you're missing something. And I tell you, if you begin to praise God, if you begin to apply the word of God, if you sometimes you just got to sit in your, I used to work downtown, down to 20th Street, right around 9/11, I was down there. And I would sit in my car and just glorify God. Hallelujah. Just worship God. Just worship God. And then on my lunch break, and then I would come back in the glory. And you know what I would do? I would walk throughout the whole place purposefully just going, Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, Lord, Jesus, Jesus. And I would just sow the spirit, and I would fan myself. Hallelujah. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm going to tell you, when I was working down there,
The atmosphere was under the submission of the Spirit of God. And you know what? We prospered in that place. We prospered in that place. And we grew, and the business grew, and everything was blessed. And even when I met with clients and people, I made sure that when I shook hands, the anointing was stirring in my body first. Hallelujah. And I said, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I knew that God was my authority. I knew the Spirit of God was the one who causes all these things to work together for our good. And Jesus understood this. And so he's coming in, and they're bringing this. He's riding on this colt. They brought the colt to Jesus, and Jesus is riding on it. And the people are celebrating. It says as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road because of what they had experienced. It says as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Not just praise the Lord. Yeah, God is good. Oh, no, they were shouting. They were making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And it says that they were praising God joyfully with a loud voice. For what reason? All the miracles which they had seen. So there was a reason they were praising God. They had experienced something. And God, like I said last week, God is wanting to do something in your life so that you have a reason to praise. God is doing things just so that you can shout. God is doing things just so that you can shout. You have something to make a loud noise about. When was the last time you made a loud noise? Hallelujah. When was the last time you made a loud noise? Because I tell you, when you realize that God is doing something in your life and he's given you victory, you will have something to shout about. You will have something to shout about. There's always something to praise God for. There's always something to give God the glory over. They said, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Saints of God, that's praise. These people were shouting because Jesus had done something that amazed them. They experienced God. Some of the Pharisees were even there, and they were doing what they always do. And they said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell these people to be quiet. What's the matter with you? This is a public place, these people out here carrying on, making all this noise. And what did Jesus say? He said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Saints of God, there's no rock going to be crying out in my place. I'm crying out for myself. I don't need a rock to cry out for me. I hope you don't have rocks crying out for you, because you're not praising God. You need to learn how to give God the glory. Give him the praise. Oh, keep the rocks quiet and let the people of God be glad. Let us rejoice and let us praise him. Let us magnify the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 22, he said, yet you are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. You have heard that verse in the King James. It says that God, he is riding on the praises of his people. This is what God does. He's there, and as we praise him, God moves. God moves on the praises. I don't know. I'll tell you, when we studied the angels and how the angelic world works, we saw that the cherubim and the seraphim, they followed the Spirit. And as the Spirit moved, they went. Hallelujah. And that's what praise does. It moves the Spirit of God. And when you're worshiping God, when you're praising God, you're establishing the way. Jesus was riding on the praises into the city of God, into Jerusalem. He was preparing the way so that we could all be reconciled. When he went to the cross, when he shed his blood, that there would be a work of God that could take place in the life of his people. Hebrews 12:28 says, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe.
for our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. Saints of God, oh, I tell you, don't be ashamed. Don't hold back on God. The kingdom of God can't even be moved. It can't be shaken. You don't have to worry. It's solid. It is grounded. God has his way of preparing and covering his people. You and I are not on our own. We're not living alone, but God is with us. Release your praise today. Release your praise to the Lord. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken or moved. It is established. Release it today. Peter said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Oh, he said, I'm making the way first. I'm paving the way. I'm opening the door. He said, behold, I am the door. Hallelujah. Saints of God, the way has been made for us. God has already prepared the way. So the next time you start packing boxes, know that you have somewhere to go. I would recommend you start packing now because we're on our way to the kingdom of God. We are on our way into the house of the Lord, into the presence of God. Don't allow the old life to bind you and hold you down or hold you back. Change direction and work in the way of the Lord, in the Spirit of God. There's a new life ahead. There is new life ahead, and the road is bright, and the way is clear. God is doing a new thing, saints of God. He's making preparation for relocation, and I pray that you are ready to move. Are you ready to move today? Are you ready to move today? Let's move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I will celebrate. Hey.
Sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song.
I will celebrate. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song. I will celebrate. Sing unto the Lord. I will sing to him a new song.
I will praise him.
I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. I will praise him. I will sing to him a new song. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hey, 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 come on.
Praise me because I am holy. Hallelujah. We are the clay and he is the potter.
He can do nothing at all, and we still praise him. He doesn't have to explain himself, and we still praise him. But he is good, and we praise him because he blesses us. Hallelujah.
And I pray that you understand why you need to take these home with you. You need to have them in your car while you're riding down the highway. Wave them at those people cutting you off in the car. And you pull out, you wave your palms at them. You'll let them go ahead down. You say, go ahead. The Lord is in here. Hallelujah. Oh, take it to work with you. Wave their palms. When they start giving you a hard time, you just say, give me a minute. Okay, now what were you saying? Hallelujah. Let you bring the Lord in. Allow God to be glorified. Let him be magnified. Hallelujah. I tell you, God wants to do a new thing. And if you're going to have a new life, you got to relocate. You can't keep living like you're in the old place. You got to live based on where you're going. You know, whenever my wife and I go to a new place, my wife does all this research to find out where we're going and what they have there. And she invests time and resources to see what is it worth visiting or seeing in the new place. When we moved from Rockland to Orange County, she had to look at all the things that were available here in Orange County. And she didn't just move, but we had to transition. My kids used to love to walk to the store when we were in Rockland. And then when we were ready to move, they said, can we walk to the store? We said, well, no, I don't think you'll be walking to the store here. So you got to change the way you're thinking. This is not the walk to the store kind of place. This is the kind of place where you walk on trails and you go to the lake kind of place. So this is a whole different way of life. And so we had to transition. We had to change. And so now, instead of just walking to the store, now we got mountain bikes. Now we got canoes. Now we got kayaks. Now we got roof racks with stuff to carry to the lake or to the woods. And we got hiking boots. And we have a whole different set of tools. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And God is doing the same thing for his people. Change your way of thinking. Research where you're going. Research what God is doing in your life. And then start preparing yourself so you can have the right mindset so that when you get there, you don't have to go to school. You can say, I passed that class. Hallelujah. I'm a praiser. Hallelujah. I know the glory of God. Hallelujah. And God will do a new thing in your life. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would magnify yourself in the midst of our lives. God, arise and let your enemies be scattered. We are grateful that you are moving us, God, from earth to glory. You're relocating us first in our souls and then in our minds. We got a renewed mind. And we just ask, God, that you would be glorified and magnified in every aspect of our life, that we would make a difference in this dark and dying world, that the Spirit of the Lord and the light of Christ would shine and bring forth new life and impact all those around us for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen.